So we'll call it open lines here for the last hour, but there was a reason I was playing that song from Wilson Phillips there for a bumper. It's not just because, you know, thematically it kind of works for people who are sort of reorganizing their life today after the non-event of May 21st has come and gone. But it's also the centerpiece of a very funny movie, Bridesmaids, opened up last weekend. Now, Bridesmaids is really gross. I'm not going to sell you on the movie for people who have, you know, more delicate comic sensibilities. But for people who liked The Hangover, there's a good chance you're going to like Bridesmaids. I happen to think it was very funny. My wife and I were laughing our heads off. And that piece of music there plays a part in the movie. I won't spoil it beyond that. But I will say this. That it was really refreshing. I thought so much of the comedy being focused on women, and even though it was, you know, pretty edgy humor in a lot of places, or pretty lowbrow humor in other places, it was a good time. And maybe that's what people need more of. You know, maybe instead of being so focused on the end times, how about some good times, and smiling and sharing jokes and not taking things so seriously and getting to the occasional movie and enjoying a good meal. There's nothing wrong with that. There's something that's great about having that kind of balance in our lives where we are both people who are out there for whatever reason you have. It's an atheist, whatever. You just see that this is a need for more justice in the world. You're going to go out and reach out and do something terrific. Or that just because it's a good balance from all of the other things like bills and some of the complications that we wish we could be spared from. So, you know, if you need a good laugh and an R-rated comedy doesn't scare you, Bridesmaids was very funny. And that brings us into our last hour then. Where are you going to take this show? It's open lines. You can stay with any of the established themes or take us in a new direction coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. All right, we'll get to the international line first to get us jump started for our last hour on Coast to Coast. We've talked to Michael Shermer, who is a skeptic and also a psychologist, a professor who wrote a book about the believer's brain, talking about all the ways in which we believe things and the reason why we believe what he calls weird things. Then we talked to Dr. Kenneth Hansen, who's a professor in Florida, and he says that there's some very interesting apocalyptic signs that may be echoing out of this recent push by the White House to get Israel to go back to the 1967 borders. And then we talked to Professor Dr. Judith Orloff, who is a professor of psychiatry, as well as being an author and an empath. And we talked to her about some of the things that people are going through right now as they reorder their life after the non-event of May 21st. And Maria is hanging on Coast to Coast. Maria?
Hi, Ian.
How are things in Toronto tonight?
They're nice and warm for a change.
You got to take that whenever you can in Canada.
2 months of rain.
I understand that. So, open lines, where do you want to take us?
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, I don't personally believe that the world will ever end. And I don't believe that Jesus Christ is going to come down and save us. I think we have to save ourselves. You know, I think there's like judgment days, but those, you know, like right now, Japan is going through its own judgment day, right?
That's an interesting thought. You mean a judgment day in terms of they're going to find out who they are as a result of what happened to them?
No, like, I mean, a judgment day for people where all something terrible happens and their life is suddenly changed and a lot of people die, you know. But, you know, I believe religion is just an excuse to massacre people and to divide us. And I hear all these people calling in saying, you know, why aren't people mad about the accountability over this? You know, I want to ask the public, why aren't they mad about the war? Why aren't they mad about the bankers? Why aren't they mad about aspartame? Why aren't we, you know...
Wait. Aspartame got thrown in with wars and bankers?
Well, sure, because they're all things that are killing us.
Okay,
and there's no accountability there.
Well, that's fine. I just didn't quite understand the connection between sugar.
I know.
Okay, I understand better. Thank you. So that's where... you're saying if you're gonna have umbrage, if you're gonna take umbrage, take it over something more important than a Herald
campaign. Serious.
Right. All right, fair enough. I appreciate that. Everybody's entitled to that thought and appreciate you checking in. We've got many more. I mean, the lines are clogged, so we'll see if we can't get you an open line coming up on Coast to Coast. Jim is in St. Louis, east of the Rockies, on Coast to Coast. Jim?
Hi, Ian. Glad to speak with you.
And you.
And thank you, sir. I have a couple points. I'll try to keep it short. About this event that was supposed to happen yesterday, it can happen at any time. People should always be prepared. We understand that, but a lot of people look for the solace of having some knowledge that they're forbidden. I find that very disturbing. I think, like you said, do good things. You know, get somebody gas on the side of the road. You know, help somebody with their dog. Just
pay it forward. Pay it forward.
Exactly. Just be yourself. Be a good people. If you're bad, you'll know people will know. If you're good, people will know. And God will know in the end. And that's one of my second points is that I sure would love to be able to sit down in St. Louis with Mr. Norrie and speak with him about an ADE I experienced.
I'm sorry, a what? The phone broke up a little bit.
An ADE?
Okay.
I'm saying after death experience, not near.
Got it. Right.
I would love to share with him about I woke up in a morgue in a major hospital, pronounced dead at 109 degrees for over an hour.
Wow.
I was a bloat, and I woke up in the tank of water. Before I did, I met five beautiful beings before I came back. And they each lived my life, and I felt my shame, and they felt my sorrow when I felt that shame, and they loved me anyway. So, I've just experienced some things, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, that's very interesting.
The five people I did meet.
Yeah, who would they be?
The first guy I met was Simon.
Okay.
The second person I met was Moses.
Okay.
The third person I met was Isaiah. Hope I said that right. Isaiah. And the fourth person I met was my Lord. And the first three said they loved me anyway after living my life. Jesus lived my life and he loved me. He didn't say anyway. Hmm. And then he said, now, this is, I know what I'm saying is close to, it's but it's the truth, so.
You're breaking up a little bit here.
Yeah, okay, what happened?
So, go ahead. We got some other people.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, then I met the Lord, love. It was, he invited me into his heart, and I literally went into the heart of Jesus and met God. And every time I told to say, well, you can't meet God because you'd have to be dead. Well, I was dead.
You were dead. That's interesting. What gave you the fever of 109, you said?
See, that I would like to be able to discuss in a longer term so I can give you a picture of it.
All right. Well, I don't get to St. Louis very often, and I can't make George Norrie's schedule for him, but I appreciate you jumping in there. And when you said, I guess he's gone now. Okay, never mind. I was going to ask him whether or not when he said he met Simon, did he mean Simon Cowell of American Idol, or was it one of the biblical Simons? I didn't know. That'd be a drag if that's the first person you meet when you died. You got to heaven and there was Simon Cowell. You're just like, your life was a little pitchy. It started off okay, but in the middle it got rough, and in the end I didn't like it. Oh, thanks. Trevor is in Salt Lake City on Coast to Coast for Open Lines. Trevor?
Yeah.
Hey.
I just had a question because every time I heard of camping's, I guess, prophecy, if you want to call it, it was mentioned that, first off, that it would start in New Zealand at 6 p.m., and was it supposed to roll over to everybody else? Because if that was to happen, that would kind of defeat the purpose of Christianity, which is based on faith and not seeing and believing. Am I correct?
Well, you could say based on. I mean, any religion is based on faith. And we can, I mean, the thought is that it's okay to ask for and or to experience signs and wonders. The chronology was that New Zealand started in the morning our time. It was their time was night, but our time was morning. And then by 6 p.m. Pacific time, it was when we'd start to see the earthquakes, and they too would roll across the United States by time zone. Yes, that was the thought.
But like, to me, it seems like these people who did follow or did get saved at the last minute, believing that was going to happen, if anything, it did more damage to the religion than anything, because if you got person A who isn't a believer, he goes and sees, or he hears about the judgment day, and he decides to turn solely on that fact, and it doesn't happen or it didn't happen. Now, him and whoever else who came to the religion because of that reasoning would turn their back completely against it.
Okay. Well, that's a fair point.
I was saying with the seeing and believing part, if the rapture did happen, I mean, it doesn't to me follow biblical terms, because in the Bible it says, first off, no man knows when it's going to come.
Right. And then, talk about that. Right.
Yeah. And then,
I mean, if you want to apply a kind of logic to this, we don't have enough time left in the show to talk about all the logical reasons why this was wrong. There's no doubt about that. But you know, this was an emotional issue, and a lot of people got really invested in it, and we're just beginning to hear more about it. In fact, I'll share something that cleared the news wire a little bit later on this hour about some of Harold Camping's disappointed followers. Richard is in California on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Richard?
Hey.
Hey.
Good to talk to you, Ian.
Thank you.
I actually have a interesting perspective on this whole thing. I dated Harold Camping's granddaughter for about 3.5, almost 4 years.
You're kidding. I can't verify that one way or another, but you swear to me that's true?
I swear on my life and my whole family, everything, it is true. I know you can't verify it, but it is true, and I can't say any names or anything like that. But yeah, it is true, and I have had Thanksgiving dinner at his house and sat down right next to him many times.
Tell me about him. Tell me what your feelings were when you sat down with him and broke bread with him.
He's a quiet man, maybe because of his age. I don't know. He doesn't talk too much. It was always kind of fun. He'd fall asleep at family parties and stuff like that all the time.
He's 89 after all, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's an older guy. But he, you know, as far as I can tell, he's very down to earth. And I personally, me and her definitely didn't, you know, believe it or buy into it. But I know, you know, as far as I could tell, you know, he was 100% authentic.
It's fair to say, Richard, that Harold Camping is down to earth today, but that wasn't what his plan was.
Yeah, that's definitely safe to say. But yeah, you know, he definitely.
What did his granddaughter think of the whole thing?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, at a young age, she was raised with this whole thing. So it's like, kind of, since she can remember, it's just been dates and all that. So it's like, I don't think she believed it, but the problem is, you know, being raised with it, it's like kind of instilled in the back of your mind. So I know that, you know, it was kind of like 50-50 for her. I know she definitely didn't like buy it, but she just was unsure about, you know, what was going to happen and all that. So, I mean, definitely, it's safe to say that she just wanted to believe that it just wasn't going to happen. But, you know, it was still just definitely in the back of her mind, because she was you know, raised with it that way. So, yeah, and, it, you know, a lot of the, it was kind of like that with a lot of the siblings, you know.
Right. So did, honestly, was, is there, when people got together and were, you know, again, we're taking your word for it, Richard, that, that you knew Harold Camping and that you would go to some of these party things. When, was there a feeling in the family that, you know, oh, well, that's just grandpa, you know, grandpa thinks those things. And, you know, like my, my grandmother, God love her, she had all sorts of unusual perspectives. And
right.
I learned a lot from them. And some of them I took to heart, and other things I had to learn just because she was older. It didn't necessarily make her wiser on everything. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Well, yeah, there was definitely that, but, you know, there was like kind of, you know, a divide, you know, like people who would believe it and then people who, you know, didn't believe it. And for the most part, as far as I could tell, just being around, it wasn't spoken of kind of too much. I mean, it was almost like, I don't want to say taboo, but it was just like not really brought up too often. The only times that I ever heard it being around was in prayer before eating. And it would, you know, he would say something along the lines of, you know, bless this meal and, you know, in the last days and whatnot. So, I mean, it wasn't talked about too much around there. But I definitely say that, yeah, they kind of just was like, you know, this is what he does. This is his thing. And, you know, they just didn't really believe it.
Right. Very interesting. Well, I appreciate you jumping in. So, obviously you weren't standing in your backyard today waiting for anything to happen, but,
no.
It's, I'm glad you jumped in here and let us know. Thank you. Open lines. Daniel is in California, Northern California, west of the Rockies on coast to coast. Daniel.
Thank you for taking my call, Ian.
Glad to have you.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to say that, okay, there's certain things that I want to just lift up some discouraged hearts. And that's what we're told to do. Lift up discouraged hearts and never let them down. To face reality as it is, to understand death, to understand life, to know one's destinies and goals, to give kindness and ask not in return. And so by doing that, I know there's a lot of discouraged hearts because I've had so many calls today, it just overwhelmed me.
Why would they be calling you?
Oh, I have just a group of people that study, and they were talking to me about just, you know, do I sell my house? Just this.
Were they buying into it? Did they really believe it?
Well, I believe they did. I believe they did.
But they were calling you to have them talk them out of it.
Well, yeah, to see what my, you know, what my take on it was. And I study at home pretty much.
Right.
And, you know, this wonderful woman, Judith, has just such a beautiful heart. And that's the kind of an attitude that I have about this stuff. Because we're told to believe in truth for truth's sake, regardless of appeal or popularity. To judge no one, but crave to be judged. To desire nothing for personal advantage except as would benefit others, to be businesslike, vigilant, sober, but cheerful, to owe no man anything, to be humble, to be a bright and shining light,
right,
and to be Christ-like. So when you do all those things, and it says also in John 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word
right.
is truth. That's love. You're encouraging people. You're not putting out fear, because perfect love casts fear out, paranoia. You don't want that.
Well, and I'm glad to know that then when people would call you and have been calling you, you were very clear with them that there was nothing to this and that they shouldn't invest their resources, their emotions, or their time into that, too. So thank you. But that doesn't have to be the only thing we talk about here for Open Lines. We still have another 30 minutes or so. Love to have you jump in. We'll try and get you an Open Line coming up next. Can be on the subject of the Judgment Saturday, but it doesn't have to be, and we'll see what happens coming up. I will say this, I'm jealous of George Knapp. Sunday night on Coast to Coast, he gets to talk with Shirley MacLaine about her new book, and it's very interesting how she talks about the things, the UFO experiences that she's had or reincarnation that she writes about, because she has such a great spirit in sharing those stories, and she can engage on that topic without without fear, you know, which is just, it makes her a great conversation partner. I know it's going to be great tomorrow night with George Knapp on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Bonnet. All right, so last half hour here on My Talk 107, sorry, listen to me, on Coast to Coast AM.
Occasionally, I say coast to coast on this other radio show I do. I guess it's a matter of time until I slip. And so last half hour here on Coast to Coast for Open Lines is the day that never actually lived up to its billing for a lot of people. Some of them were still sorting that out. That may or may not be what you're calling about. That's why it's Open Lines. We'll find out next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Okay, we'll get to as many calls as we can before the top of the hour, and that leads us to start with Paul in Amarillo on a wild card line, open lines on Coast to Coast. Paul?
Morning, Ian.
Morning.
I'm not a Christian, so I have a slightly different take on this whole rapture thing.
Sure.
Well, I'm a pagan, and we were kind of rooting for it.
Tell me why.
Well, then there'd be a whole lot less people on Earth.
Well, there'd be no Earth. Right? I mean, if you believe what they believe, there would be no Earth, period.
Well, as far as we're concerned, we believe that all religions are possible.
Yes.
So the Christians would have gone away and we would have had the Earth to ourselves, pretty much.
Well, that would be your own kind of rapture. See, that's a different, the other rapture is that the Christians would have gone, the good ones anyway, and then the whole Earth would have been destroyed. So you don't, that's kind of a zero sum game in that other scenario. So you've created an alternate scenario, and I understand that. Is there any in the pagan tradition that you follow, is there any belief in any type of end of the world scenario?
Oh yeah, Ragnarok.
Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Are you just making that up?
No.
Okay, so
That's the Norse end war. Sort of.
Okay,
like
I see. I see what you follow. Yeah, the Norwegian, what we would consider to be Norse mythology, but I understand what you're saying. I don't mean, I'm not insulting your religion. So Ragnarok, that's, gosh, refresh me, it's been a while since I've taken that, but that's a Norse thing in which there's is that the great battle? Is that what Ragnarok is?
Yeah. Well, first there's a great big winter where there's a big civil war. And then you get to the big battle with the gods and the monsters and everything. And it's pretty much a lot like Armageddon.
Okay. Well, there you go. So who survives after Ragnarok in your Celtic, or sorry, I guess it wouldn't be Norwegian pagan tradition?
Well, there's a man and a woman that restarts it. So. And the gods, most of the gods reappear.
So, but are most of the humans wiped out? It's just the gods that survive?
Pretty much.
Okay.
But there's a man and a woman, which is sort of an Adam and Eve thing that restarts it.
Right. Yeah, I get that. Very interesting. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. See, I learned so much on the show. Tim is in Birdsboro, Pennsylvania on Coast to Coast. Tim?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Doing all right.
Yeah, I just wanted to voice my opinion on this brief, I guess you could call it a disappointment, with my partner. My partner, Matt, he's a lover of mine. He's been given money to this camping guy for
really?
A while. Yeah, he's gone through probably, I'd say, between $5,000 and $10,000 on it. It's created a big problem with us. We ended up going out. Both of us took off work today, and me and my little muscle man, we went out, hung out in a big open field up behind our house, up there in Birdsboro, and waited the whole day. Turns out he ends up getting in a big argument with me, basically stating that, he's not going to be saved because, you were gay lovers, and, we went through this whole big scenario. I mean, this crap has caused me nothing but problems and heartbreak in the last couple of weeks.
Well, and you're being entirely serious about this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let me ask you a question. So how did your partner fall into becoming a Harold Camping follower?
He's been into the church for a long time, which is fine, understandable. I appreciate faith. Started listening to him on the radio and basically got caught up in it.
My impression was, and my impression was that Harold Camping would not be, or any of his followers, I don't know what you call them, Harry Campers, but any of the Harold Camping followers, they would not be considered a gay positive movement.
No, and I had the same feeling, but obviously he went with this sign of faith and started following it.
Do you think your partner is thinking about going straight or about trying to, or is the breakup with you, or is it really about questions about his own orientation, or what is it all about?
I don't know. God, I hope he doesn't go straight, but I think it's a big disappointment over the whole thing.
So he's, in a way, it's his disappointment over the lack of Armageddon and the fact that he put out all that money and you guys were arguing about it. And in the end, he's got to face that. And so he takes it out on you and the relationship.
Yeah, pretty much so.
Interesting.
Tim, I mean, I don't know. What's that?
No, I said, go ahead and finish. You were starting to say something.
No, it's just interesting. I mean, I can't see how my little muscle man get caught up in this stuff and, you know, just go with it and be so, you know, I just found out about, you know, the money, you know, get the charity money, whatever the heck you want to call it. I think it's scheme money. You know, I just found out about it about maybe a week ago, and yeah, things have just gone downhill.
Well,
who knows?
Well, who knows? Maybe y'all can still talk it out and work it out and hug it out or whatever it is that would work it out. So, in the end, you can know your partner wasn't alone in sending all this money to Harold Camping. There were people coming on all the time on Coast to Coast when we were doing open lines just like this, and they were, you know, trying to shout out information about where to donate. And there are a lot of true believers in this movement. Greg, first time caller line in Colorado on Coast to Coast. Greg?
Yes, hi. Yeah, I.
Greg? Did we lose him? Greg, he just dropped. Oh, gosh darn it. Okay. You know, all that, and then just right there at the last second, he's gone. We'll go to Bob in Knoxville on Coast to Coast. Bob Govals, go ahead.
Hello, Ian. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to say to everybody that followed Harold Camping and everything and stuff, I'm sorry about the everything that's happened to them and everything. They're let down and everything. But tell them I'm here to raise them back up because I was born with a special gift from God and to help them all and stuff. And
tell me about your special gift.
Okay. Well, my gift is I'm like a messenger of the Lord God. And I've already done quite a few things and stuff, quite a few works, and Alex Jones, a few other people know about. And
what works have you done? Tell me
about
that.
Well, one of them's to deal with national security, and I can't really talk about that one on the radio, but, you know, Alex Jones could let y'all in on that one.
You told him, and he's going to tell me, and that's going to be – that won't violate your national security?
No, not that way and stuff. If it's broadcast over the radio so all ears can hear it, then it probably would. It wouldn't violate it, but it would hamper it.
Okay. Well, we don't want to do that. Not quite. But so then, like, so what is – how can you bring comfort then to those people who are experiencing a setback from Harold Camping and his followers?
Well, it's not only them, but it's all people of all nations, and to prepare them, get them ready for the coming of the Lord, and it's only in God's own power the time he comes back, and the time he comes back is a time that man finally turns around on this earth and pleases him, and not themselves here on this earth like they've done ever since the beginning of creation.
Okay.
And that's what it's going to take is all of us get together and pull together. And, you know, the Lord's gave me quite a few messages that I've given to our government. And
was the last message you gave to the government? Can you tell us?
Yeah. Yeah, the last message I gave to them was if they didn't start communicating with us, that God was going to knock out all their communications. They'd be sending their messages by homing pigeon. And that last solar flare come off the sun and everything, and everybody's seen the northern lights and all these other nations and things, and you know, they finally sent me an email back the first year stating Barack Obama's new advisor stating that they would if it would make me happy if they start communicating with me. So you know, my sister's computer went down right after that, so I didn't get a chance to get back with them. And it's still down. She still hadn't got it fixed. So,
go to a library, dude. What are you waiting for?
Well, I don't have a car and no vehicle to get around in. Problem is, I don't have money to buy one either. I'm just a poor man. God says by the mouth of the Holy Prophet that he would choose a poor man here on this earth in the last days. That's the only man he would look to. And he sure has. And I bear the mark of the Trinity in my right hand with a cross in it. And I was also born with the apple in my left eye. And it talks about the
apple
in Proverbs chapter 7. Yeah.
What do you mean an apple? You mean like your pupil is shaped like an apple?
Well, the mote in my eye, the iris, you know, the color of your eye, it's got the shape of a little apple in it. You look at it one way and it looks like a little apple, and another way it looks like a little jewel.
Oh, that's very cool. Well, I would encourage you, though. I mean, and thank you, Bob, for sharing that. A bicycle to the library, walk to the library, free internet at the library. Let them know you're in. Big Bill is in Charlotte, North Carolina, on Coast to Coast. Open lines on Coast to Coast. Bill?
Hey, how you doing there, Ian?
Doing all right. Got a few minutes left for you. Go ahead.
I understand. I appreciate that. Just wanted to ask you, are you a fan of the Outer Banks of North Carolina?
Oh, I am.
All right, brother. Let me tell you, you need to go to Buxton, North Carolina if you want to do some great fishing.
Okay, good. I love that. I have property in South Carolina. I just don't get there nearly enough because I'm crazy.
I understand that. And the other place you might want to go fishing is Portsmouth Island.
Tell me about that.
Oh, it's a little abandoned fishing village there. The National Park Service has taken over, and my brother and I go out there several times a year, and we do really well when it comes to catching the fish, flounder and everything else.
Well, I love that. And lately I've been watching a lot of fishing shows. I don't know why. I think it's because my life is so hectic. So every time I watch a fishing show, I calm down. I think someday that'll be me.
You know, that's the same thing. My brother actually bought a four-wheel drive vehicle just so he could drive out on the beach to go fishing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You got a wonderful part of the country there, no doubt. But thanks for those thoughts. You know, ever seen the show River Monsters? It's on, I don't know who's got it, History Channel? No, Discovery, Travel, I don't know. Anyway, one of those channels. But this show River Monsters, and he's always fishing for giant fish that are like taking off people's limbs, you know, or legendary fish that no one's been able to prove exist. And that's just, and it's actually one of those shows where something really happens. Like I love the monster show on the History Channel, but really, you know, nothing ever happens. Monster Quest. They never really find anything. River Monsters, this guy finds something. Today he was pulling something out. He was looking for these giant carp. Giant catfish. I don't know. He pulled out a fish. It was the size of my grandmother. And it was like, whoa. And I love that about that show. Jocelyn is in Wisconsin, open lines on Coast to Coast. Jocelyn?
Yes. Hello. Good evening. I've been listening to your show all night and also been wondering where these people, how they think. It defies logic. I'm 66 years old, and I'm an agnostic. I really don't know. I don't think anybody on this earth knows. Until you die, then you'll find out.
Right.
Or there'll be nothing. And the way that we've been, I believe that the longer I live, the harm that is done, well, to each other, you know, people are still lopping off other people's heads and just insane. And what we're doing to the earth, trashing it daily. And I just don't see, I don't see an answer because I don't believe that people are ready to change, to do the right thing. There's so much greed. Nature can fight off practically anything, but they can't fight off man's greed, and it shows every single day.
What if I told you that at no other point in the history of humanity have more people lived better in less conflict than right now?
I look back on history, and, you know, they used to feed Christians to the lions and laugh about it. And I also look back on the Holocaust, and I mean, there hasn't been hardly a year.
Well, I say
months that have gone by where man has not created havoc.
Well, havoc is one thing. I'm with you on that. And humans will always create havoc. And it's the nature of living, I think, in a world where we are free to do a lot. And a lot of people will follow a lot of their baser, more selfish instincts, as you point out. But I do think that actually we don't pay enough attention to how good we've got it. And I think that's one of the reasons why the rapture, if you will, Jocelyn, didn't happen today. It's because the all of the end time stuff, the Book of Revelation, was written at a time when Christians were the ones that were persecuted, that they had no freedom, that they were being imprisoned, or as you said later on, being fed to the lions. And I think that this is why we can say, you know what, we've got it pretty good. I wish it was better, but you know, I mean, it still is.
Well,
as the human race, we're not in. There aren't any world wars. There aren't any. You know, I mean, we're doing better, I think, don't you?
Well, when I look around, I mean, even from the smallest town, I live in a relatively small town, and they're just not happy until they cover everything with cement and,
yeah,
and tear down what little wild air. I love animals. I love the earth. And a lot of evangelical people have no regard, although some of them have changed, but they have no regard for the earth as if it's something to, you know, they all live for after they're dead.
Yeah, well,
you know what I'm saying?
That
doesn't make any sense to me. If God exists, why would he want us to think that way? I mean,
I think there's a lot of people say that who are also Christian, and I think your point's well taken, and I appreciate that. Let me see if I can't get in Alfred in Tampa as we're running out of time for this hour of Open Lines. Alfred, go ahead.
How are you doing this morning, sir?
Doing okay. How are you?
Just like to say what an honor and a privilege it is to talk to one of the many great hosts of AM Coast to Coast.
Well,
I've been trying to get through for about a year. You know, sir, I'm going to be kind of a unique caller because I did not believe that the rapture was going to occur on May 21st, 2011. But I've listened to family radio for over 30 years. And what I just wanted to explain about Mr. Camping is that he has a spiritual application only in Scripture. And he is basically on target about the fact that a lot of people are aware, you know, seem to be aware that, you know, that we could be getting near the end, but certainly not this year. But Mr. Camping, you know, he believes where he messed up was that his spiritual application in believing that the Antichrist was simply Satan himself and not a man. And, of course, in the Scripture, you know, the Antichrist must appear first before Jesus Christ can return.
Can I ask you?
What I just wanted to say is that
we're running out of
time. Mr. Camping, you know, he gets the gospel out in like 61 different languages for 50 years now.
Right.
And he didn't really mean to deceive anybody.
Oh, I think
he
did.
Anybody. He was sincere.
I understand that.
Saying,
but
I gotta
should he wait, you gotta help me out here because we just have a few seconds left. Should he apologize for being so wrong and draining so many people's bank accounts? Should he apologize for that?
Well, not yet, sir. Not yet. But you know, he doesn't have television, he's strictly radio, and he just is sincerely wrong. You know, with
when should he apologize?
Just Satan himself.
When should he apologize?
That already happened. And of course,
okay,
the Bible says that.
I'm afraid I'm running out of time for that. But real quickly, when should he apologize? I got about 10 seconds.
Actual man, and that.
Okay, all right, we're not going to get anywhere with that. Sorry about that. But I hope he does. I hope Harold Camping does apologize. You know, give him a couple of days for it to really sink in that he was wrong again for the third time. Scared a bunch of people for nothing, and let's all remember those people who are truly left behind, the people who are living on the margins, victims of war and famine, all those who suffer. And let's keep those people in our prayers, even as we go on from here. Deus te amat, and I do too.